Yesterday began a fortnight for freedom, an effort by the American bishops calling Catholics to prayer and fasting in an intense way up until the 4th of July, because the church finds herself in a very dangerous situation. Probably about a year and a half ago, I read a letter in church from Archbishop Schnur. With the Affordable Care Act and the administration's interpretation of it, Catholic institutions, Catholic hospitals, schools, churches, Catholic individuals, Catholic businesses, and other people of goodwill will be compelled by the administration to provide services such as contraception, the morning after pill, sterilization to others, to all their employees, against the deeply held convictions of many good and God-fearing people. The situation has not changed very much in the last year and a half, and no serious accommodation has been made or conscience protections been put in place. The bishops are asking Catholics to pray and fast so that people might be able to practice their faith in peace without government intervention. That is all the church is asking, that the church be able to be the church, that Catholics be able to profess their faith according to the dictates of their conscience. And that is what I am asking you to pray for. But we might ask ourselves, how did we get into this situation? And we might further ask, well, what other issues are there? Because when we consider the great moral issues of our day, it could be abortion, it could be the redefinition of marriage, there is a fundamental question. Who's in charge? Is God sovereign? Is he the one who is the author of life? Does he determine who lives and who dies, or does the state? Who is the author of marriage and inscribed the nature of marriage into human nature? Is it God, or is it the state? Is it we who can define marriage however we wish? In our first reading from the book of the prophet Zechariah, we see the people find themselves in a dangerous situation, in part because they have not kept the law of God. They have not kept the commandments. They have not heeded the voice of the prophets. And so there is great mourning in the city. We too find ourselves as Catholics because we ourselves have not been faithful to the teachings of Christ and his church, in a dangerous situation, a situation of mourning and oppression. And we need to accept our own responsibility for that. But the reading concludes by speaking about purification from one's sins. It also mentioned that they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. It is from the pierced side of the Lord Jesus hanging on the cross that his precious blood flows to purify us of our sins. And so during this fortnight of freedom, we need to look to the cross of Christ. We need to think about his pierced side and be purified of our sins, but to look to God, because it is not likely that there will be a political solution to this oppression. Our hope lies in God. Is he the Lord or not? This is Jesus' question to his disciples in the gospel. Who do you say that I am? Before we pick that question up again, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. This is what Zechariah said. And it is from the pierced side of Jesus that blood and water flow out. Blood for sacrifice in the Eucharist, which builds us up in unity. Water for the grace of baptism. St. Paul tells us in the first line of his letter to the Galatians, which we heard today, that we are children of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. We became children of God through the waters of baptism. We are meant to live in the freedom of the children of God. We are not meant to be slaves of the state. We wish to practice our faith in freedom. St. Paul tells us we are not neither Jew nor Greek nor slave nor free nor man nor woman. We are one in Christ. We could add in our day we are not Republican nor Democrat. Our faith comes first. It was in faith that we became children of God and so gained true freedom. And in faith, we seek the truth about human life, about the nature of marriage, and about the nature of conscience. Many politicians will tell us many things. They will even lie to us, if we could believe that. It is the truth alone which sets us free. The government can say whatever it wants. It is the truth alone which should appeal to all people of goodwill, and especially people of faith, that we are concerned about. The truth sets us free, and we see the truth of God's love in the pierced side of Jesus upon the cross, by which we are truly made God's children, called to live in freedom and in peace with others. That is what we want to do, to live in freedom and in peace. And so the church asks for your prayers and your fasting and your sacrifices and invites you to participate in the political process. But again, who is Christ Jesus? Whom do you say that I am? Is he who hangs upon the cross, was he just a criminal from 2,000 years ago? Or is he Elijah or just one of the prophets? St. Peter says who he is. You are the Christ of God. He is the anointed one. He is God who loved us when we were still sinners, who lost his life for our sake when we had no cause to be loved in such a way. He proved the depths of God's love for us. Who do you say that I am? He is the Christ of God. But Peter will profess one thing with his lips, just as we will in a short while profess our faith. But Peter has a different idea of what it means to say, to be a disciple. He has ideas about an earthly kingdom and the comforts of power. Jesus says, no, not for my disciples. You must deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow after me. You must lose your life in order to gain it. As I said, we should not imagine that a political solution is coming. The cross, instead, is coming. And suffering. Are we prepared to carry it? Are we prepared to embrace it? Peter, for most of his life, was afraid of it, until the Holy Spirit of God was poured out upon him at Pentecost. And then he spoke boldly, and he professed his love for the Lord Jesus by suffering crucifixion. Who do you say that I am? Jesus asks us that question. That is what this issue is about. Are we going to live as if our faith was just outside of us, something purely private? Are we going to profess by word and deed that he is the Christ of God? We can be silent no longer. Who do you say that I am? 500 years ago, St. Thomas More was asked that very question. He acknowledged Christ, Jesus, as Lord. He said, I am the King's good servant, but God's first. Who do you say that he is as you behold the pierced one?